So, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. Today's class will be given by Her Grace Sarasuda Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a Madhya Leela, chapter 24. I forgot the verse number.
63 onward.
Text number 63 onward. Thank you, Mataji. Very wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, all glory to your service. We are very, very grateful to you for this opportunity to serve. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, entitled Explanations of the Atmarama Verse, reading from text 63 onwards. Nija gune tabe hore dehendriya mon aiche kripalu krishna aiche taro gun. Translation. When the devotee is freed from all sinful material activities, Krishna attracts his body, mind and senses to his service. Thus, Krishna is very merciful and his transcendental qualities are very attractive. Text 64. When one's mind, senses and body are attracted to the transcendental qualities of Hari, one gives up the four principles of material success. Thus, I have explained the chief meanings of the word Hari. Text 65. When the conjunction cha and the adverb api are added to this verse, the verse can assume whatever meaning one wants to give it. Text 66. The word cha can be explained in seven ways. Text 67. The word cha, which actually means and, is used to connect a word or sentence with a previous word or sentence to give the sense of aggregation, to assist the meaning, to give a collective understanding, to suggest another effort or exertion, or to fulfill the meter of a verse. It is also used in the sense of certainty. Text 68. There are seven chief meanings of the word api. They are as follows. Text 69. The word api is used in the sense of possibility, question, doubt, censure, aggregation, appropriate application of things, and extravagance. Text 70. I have now described the different meanings of the 11 separate words. Now let me give the complete meaning of the shloka as it is applied in different places. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshuram Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Pudaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namam Vishnu Pudaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jakutaka Swaminiti Namine Namah Acharya Pudaya Mitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatharine Namam Vishnu Pudaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So very, very beautiful verses here, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving each and every, you know, so many meanings to so many of these, or to each and every one of these, you know, words that are there in the Atmarama verse. It is really, you know, this entire chapter is actually sometimes very mind-boggling, very, very... I mean, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the way he explains the Atmaram verse, there is a bottom line to this verse, what it actually means. But the way Gauranga Mahaprabhu keeps explaining it, just to drive the point, you know, I always remember, whenever I read this particular chapter, I always remember Srila Prabhupada's point. One time, Srila Prabhupada is giving Bhagavatam class, and then, you know, Srila Prabhupada is making the point that we are not this body, we are eternal spirit soul. We are not this body, we are eternal spirit soul. Prabhupada was, you know, stressing on this point. I mean, if you adhere to at least, you know, like 90% of Srila Prabhupada's classes, this particular point that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, will be found in each and every one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. So one time, one of the devotees, when they were serving breakfast to Srila Prabhupada, the devotee asked Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's been years now, you know, it's been quite a few years, and we get it. You know, we understand it now, that yes, we are the body, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. We get it. So what next? Why don't you tell us something more about, you know, the other aspect? I think we get it, this point that you've been trying to tell us. Srila Prabhupada looked up at that devotee and said, do you really get it? Are we really acting on that platform of, we are not this body, but we are spirit soul, eternal parts and parcels of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said that the day that we start acting on it, then I will go into different topics. But we have to get our basics clear, you know. Even this is the rule of mathematics, that if we know the basics of mathematics, we will be able to solve any complex problems. That is the rule of mathematics. That is the golden rule. But if the first line of our, you know, the solving of the mathematic problem is wrong, then if you have an entire page of the answer, the process will be wrong. Because the first, you know, our basic has not been cleared out. That is the thing with spiritual life too. And that is the reason why Srimad Gauranga Mahaprabhu is giving us all different kinds of understanding, which is driving the same point, what is the actual import of the Atmaram verse. What is the actual understanding of the Atmaram verse? So in this particular verses that he read today, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that when the devotee is freed from all sinful material activities, Krishna attracts his body, mind, and senses to his service. Thus, Krishna is very merciful, and his transcendental qualities are very attractive. You see, but here there is a very beautiful contradiction. You know, I was discussing this with my Prabhu, and my Prabhu was saying a very, very beautiful point in this. He said, let's see, this is the same point even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That in the 7th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyir karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajate mam dhridavrata. That Krishna is saying in the 7th chapter that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So the requirement to engage in Krishna's service with determination is that we have to be rid of sinful reactions. And what does Krishna say in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? He says, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha shrami masacham. But abandon all varieties of sinful reactions and just surrender unto me. And I will free you from all, you know, all sinful reactions. You do not fear. So this is a contradiction. That do we first get rid of sinful reactions and then we surrender? That then Krishna allows us to surrender? Or for us to surrender to Krishna, we have to first get rid of sinful reactions. Which one is it? That's the same thing that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is saying here, that when the devotee is freed from all sinful reactions, all material sinful reactions, then Krishna will attract his body, mind, and intelligence. So what is the prerequisite? That first we surrender, then it will go away? Or first we get rid of everything and then we will surrender? It's a paradox, you know? it's so difficult to understand. I mean, it looks, apparently it looks that the Shastras are contradicting itself. These are two opposite statements. So how do we find a resolution to this? And Prabhu very beautifully explained, he was saying that this is where the Acharyas come in. Our Acharyas intervene at this particular point where there is a so-called contradiction. When we have a so-called contradiction, we don't know how to solve it. I mean, it gets so difficult to even understand how do we actually resolve this particular point. One place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this, that to be able to engage in devotional service with determination, we need to be freed from all sinful reactions. And then again in the 18th chapter, Krishna is saying, how to get free from sinful reactions? First, surrender to me. So this paradox, even here, the first verse that we read, is a paradoxical statement. It is. It is a contradictory statement. But our Acharyas are here to resolve this paradox. Our Acharyas come and intervene and they give us the resolution that what is the actual course of action. That is the causeless mercy of the Acharyas. The Acharyas come and tell us, you just simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I'll take care of everything. We don't have to bother about what Krishna is saying. We really don't have to bother because we cannot afford to bother. If we want to bother, then it's not going to work. That's where the mercy comes in of the Acharya, of the Bhagavata. There is the book Bhagavat, and there is the personality Bhagavata. So the person Bhagavata is more merciful than the book Bhagavata because the book Bhagavata can have apparent contradictions. But by following the words of the person Bhagavata, we come to know how to actually apply the principles that are given in the book Bhagavata. So Srila Prabhupada has simply said that anybody who chants 16 rounds, anybody who is following the four regulative principles, attending the morning programs, engaging in devotional service, taking Krishna Prasad, is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. We just stick on to these words of Srila Prabhupada. Just follow it. And it is guaranteed that all of these things will be easily achieved. Then come what, material attachments, material desires, material, you know, sinful reactions, surrender to Krishna, coming mercy of Krishna, all that will happen automatically. We just need to listen and follow the words of our Acharyas. You see, even not just in our own lives, this is our only hope, but this was the hope even for people in the previous ages. We see in the life of Valmiki, Rishi Valmiki, he was Ratnakar, you know, the great dacoit Ratnakar. And he was so sinful that, you know, he realized that, okay, now I need to do something about it. Narad Muni came to him and said that, my dear Ratnakar, you are born into a Brahminical family, but look, all your sinful reactions are so big. What's going to happen to you if you don't start taking Krishna's name? You better start chanting. And then Ratnakar said, okay, yes, I realize I've been, you know, leading a very dangerous life. So, yeah, give me the mantra. So then Narad Muni said, okay, you chant Ram Nam. So then, you know, while this Ratnakar, he said, Mara, Mara. And Narada said, no, not Mara, Mara. You say Ram, say Ram. But he was so sinful that the holy name of Lord Ram was not coming on his tongue. That was the level of the sinful activities of this Ratnakar. And that time, Narad Muni said, it's okay, my dear Ratnakar. I am telling you, you chant Mara. You chant Mara. Continue to chant Mara. Then one day, with your sincere efforts, the Lord will manifest on your tongue. That is my guarantee to you. So So having faith in the words of Srimad Narad Muni, this Ratnakar, you know, Doshu means dacoit Ratnakar, he started chanting, Mara, 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 Mara. One day he chanted Ram. The holy name of Lord Ram automatically manifested on his tongue. Seeing the sincerity with which this Ratnakar dacoit was chanting and following the instructions of his guru, of his acharya, the holy name manifested on his tongue. That is the mercy of an acharya. That is how the acharyas intervene into our lives with their causeless mercy. That is the glory of the presence of a guru in our life. Guru can do magic in our life. And this Ratnakar became so glorious by chanting the name of Lord Ram that he was the one who was chosen to write Ramayana, the glories of Lord Ram. And he became Rishi Valmiki. He became Valmiki Muni. So such a glorious person. He became so glorious. And who made him glorious? It was Narad Muni. It was his Guru Maharaj who made him glorious. So that is how the acharyas intervene with their mercy into our life. And that is the glory of our acharya. How much indebted we need to be to Srila Prabhupada for giving us these books, for giving us his spiritual sons and daughters, for creating this worldwide sangha of devotees. If it was not for Srila Prabhupada, where would we be? Jodi Prabhupada na hoito, tabe ki hoito? What would happen if Srila Prabhupada would not have been here? And what would happen? Where would we have been if it was not for the glorious sons of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Vargas? Where would we be today? Some corner of hell rotting away, preparing. Yamaraj would be preparing, at least for me, he would be preparing a separate hellish planet so that, I have, a lot of accumulation. So to take care of all of that, Yamaraj would be preparing a separate, completely separate hellish planet to take care of all of that. But then somehow we feel that by the mercy of our spiritual masters, at least we are saved from that. And now it is our responsibility towards Srila Prabhupada, towards our Guru Vargas, to be able to share this rare knowledge that we have with everybody else. And that would be the way that we show our gratitude for what our acharyas have done. We show our gratitude to them by introducing others, by giving this mercy to others, sharing this mercy with others. Text 64 is saying that when one's mind, senses and body are attracted to the transcendental qualities of Hari, one gives up the four principles of material success. Thus I've explained the chief meanings of the word Hari. Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purport that the four principles of material success are religious performances, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, which is commonly known as dharma, artha, karma and moksha. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is saying that dharma, artha, karma and moksha, these are definitely on the material platform itself. Devotees actually don't even aspire even to get moksha. It is saying that liberation is sitting at the lotus feet of the devotee, waiting to be used by the devotee in their service. But the devotee is not interested in liberation or moksha. Forget dharma, artha and karma. A devotee is just not interested even in moksha. What is the interest of a devotee? The only interest of a devotee is that they want to serve Krishna eternally and please Krishna. Ahaituki apratyata. Uninterrupted, unmotivated, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Just to please Krishna. That is their only objective. That is their only motivation. That is their only desire, service to Krishna. You know, Krishna says that when a person comes to me to ask for bhukti and mukti, bhukti is material enjoyment, and mukti is liberation. So Krishna is saying that anyone who comes to me for bhukti or mukti, I give it very easily. Because then I don't have to be bound to that person. But if a person comes to me for bhakti, then I'm in a turmoil. Because then I have to give myself to that devotee. So we should be very careful in what we are asking. You know, Srila Prabhupada said that in our Krishna consciousness movement, there may be many, many devotees who will probably even go to the heavenly planets. You know, because chanting Hare Krishna with material desires can fulfill all of our material desires. But therefore, we must be extremely careful when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to have no other desire other than service to Guru and Krishna. That should be our only desire when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Otherwise, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so capable that it will easily give us all kinds of material occurrences if we ask for it. If we desire it, even if we don't ask, even if we have a little bit of desire in our mind that, you know, I wish I had this kind of thing, the Harinam is so merciful and the Harinam will be very relieved. That, okay, this person doesn't want devotion, you know, doesn't want me. It just wants some material, you know, accumulations. Holy Name will give it. The Holy Name is so merciful that they'll fulfill all sorts of desires. So you must be very careful. Choose very wisely. You know, we have, you know, like the genie who came, you know, and who said that you have only three benedictions. You ask whatever you want. So we have the genie of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the fingertips, in our fingertips. So we must be careful of what we desire. We must be very, very careful. Let us desire nothing for ourselves. Nothing. That should be the aspiration. The day that we are desiring nothing for ourselves and only service to Guru and Krishna, only the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and for us to be just engaged in that service for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, that is the perfection. That is the day that the Holy Name will give themselves to us. That is the day that we will be able to realize that yes, Krishna indeed is dancing on our tongue when we chant. And that is the day that we will be able to chant. Krishna will allow us to chant spontaneously. We don't chant that day. That is what we need to do. Chant the Hare Maha Mantra. Be very, very careful. You know, this is the thing that we must focus on every single day. Chanting our japa, when we are doing our devotional service, when we do any service, it's very, very important to check ourselves. What is the mood with which we are doing this particular service? Whether it be serving devotees, whether it be serving, you know, in you know, like maybe we are all alone serving Krishna, you know, either in the pujari room or, you know, in front of the deities, we are serving the deities, we are dressing the deities. What is the mood with which we are doing? Or it can be as, you know, alone as we are alone with Krishna. That is our talk time with Krishna while we are doing our japa. That service also. What is the mood with which we are doing all of these services? When we are honoring prasad, that is also service. What is the mood with which we are honoring prasad? We must, you know, check our consciousness when we do all of this. Then that day will come that Samay Mana Krishnara Padara Vindayor. As I always say, Samay Mana Krishnara Padara Vindayor, it's in my state, I just feel more relatable to the fact that Savai Mana Guru Rapadar Vindayor is more practical and applicable for me personally. That whatever I do, whatever I am able to, you know, given opportunities to do, is this activity going to be pleasing to my Guru Maharaj? Will my Guru Maharaj be proud of what I'm doing right now? That should be the consciousness. When we think like that, then one day, yes, Krishna Rapadara Vindayor will also come automatically. But Guru is the one who gives us Krishna. So when we try to develop this kind of attitude, then Krishna, he will see that, oh, who is this person who is so attached to my pure devotee? Then Krishna casts his merciful glance upon us. Srimati Radharani, she casts her merciful sidelong glance upon us and sees, oh Krishna, look at this devotee who is very sincerely trying to please your devotee. Please give your mercy upon this soul. That is our hope. That recommendation coming from our spiritual master to Srimati Radharani and Srimati Radharani recommending us to Krishna, that is our hope. So when we chant, when we do our devotional service, to have the right kind of mood, to have the right kind of consciousness is extremely important. And here in text 67, 68, 69, 70, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even one word, which is cha and api, is giving seven different meanings to each of these words. You know, that is the beauty of Sanskrit, like we explained before. That when it is used in a particular context, it has completely different meanings. So Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is giving all kinds of possible meanings to this particular word and in context to this particular verse. And he's saying that even if you take all the possible contexts, still we can draw the same conclusion. The same conclusion can be drawn. That Krishna is extremely merciful, he is extremely kind, and he is a sold-out servant of his devotees. That Krishna, although he is Atmaram, that although he is self-satisfied, but he derives great satisfaction and bliss when he is with his loving devotees. That is the actual import of this particular verse of Atmaram. So today we'll end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Danda Pranam. Thank you so much for nice class, Mataji. I know you already mentioned that today the class will be very short. So just have one question, Mataji. As you said that the holy name can give everything, you know, bhukti, mukti, whatever we desire.
Yes.
So we should be very careful. But at the same time, it is said that Krishna is such a loving father that even if you desire for it, but still, you know, he'll consider whether it is good for you or not. So he'll give you accordingly. But if you go to other demigods, they are least bothered. They just give whatever you want. Like example is always being given out. Son is asking for a cigarette. Then a cigarette man will give, definitely, because he is doing his business. But at the same time, when he asks the same thing from his father will give him a tight slap. So isn't it a two contradictory things?
Yes. Well, it's not really contradictory. You see, Krishna, he is definitely a loving father, and Krishna does make all kinds of arrangements that we don't choose, you know, at least when we start chanting the holy names, that Krishna makes certain arrangements that we don't choose the bhukti and mukti. He does take care, but we do have free will. So Krishna never intervenes with our free will. That if there is something that our heart desires so much that we really ardently desire something, Krishna is so kind that he says, all right, take it, but this is the consequences that he will face.
Not this able to the... hear Kalashita Mataji, Dandvat Pranam.
Okay. Is this better?
Voice is too much breaking, Mataji.
Is this better?
No, Mataji, still voice is breaking.
Vrinda Mataji, maybe you can check.
It's not. Yeah, it's not breaking for everybody. You're coming in very clear.
Okay.
So what I was saying is that so Krishna, he actually does not, definitely never intervenes with, our free will. He never does that. He is our merciful Father. He is a father who is going to take care of us. He is going to make arrangements that he takes care of us. He'll make situations which are favorable to our Krishna consciousness. So he will do that. He will do all of that. But at the same time, Krishna never ever intervenes with our free will. If there is something that our heart truly, truly desires, Krishna will make sure that it is fulfilled. Otherwise, why do devotees leave the movement? Even during Srila Prabhupada's time, there were so many devotees. Srila Prabhupada initiated thousands upon thousands of devotees. Where are those thousands upon thousands of devotees today? They are not there. We know a few glorious souls who had left, who came back, and they left their bodies in a very glorious way. We know, history has shown us. But they did leave in between. Why? Why did Krishna allow that? Because Krishna does not interfere with our free will. But at the same time, Krishna, he is so merciful that he also does not forget anybody who has chanted his name even once sincerely. That is also a bottom line. He never forgets. So he will make arrangements that that person, whether it be in this lifetime or in some other lifetime, he will come back to Krishna. He will have a proper destination. Even if he is not able to complete everything in this life, whatever the reason be, Krishna will make arrangements in such a way to put him in a favorable situation so that he can continue where he left off. That is the mercy of Krishna. But if a child, is like begging, no, I want cigarette, I want this, what would the father do? That child is about to cut himself and say that, no, if you don't give me this, I'm going to cut myself, I'm going to do this. The father says, all right, fine, take this. And then one day when this child realizes, no, this is very, very bad, doing this, I am harming my own body, then the child comes back to the father. The father says, okay, now I'll take care of you. The father never says, oh, you didn't listen to me the first time, now you're doomed to hell. The father doesn't say that. That is loving father. Krishna forgives us n number of times. Krishna is the master of forgiveness. And look at us. When someone does something to us, I won't forgive them. How dare they do something like this to me? I won't forgive them. Imagine if Krishna develops this attitude, where will we go? What is our hope then? We are committing mistakes every moment of the day. And Krishna is so merciful that he's forgiving us. If it was not for Krishna's forgiveness, we wouldn't be here today. At least I wouldn't be sitting here today. It is Krishna's great nature of his forgiveness. So we must try to have that attitude also when we deal with devotees. Forgive. Forgiveness is a very important virtue. So, Krishna is definitely very merciful. There is no doubt about it. But he does not interfere with our free will. And at the same time, he also makes arrangements that we come back to him some point or the other in our life. Does that answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your answer.
Very beautiful question. Very beautiful question.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Do you have time for me to follow up on this question?
Yes.
Okay. I just still need some clarification myself. So I'm thinking of two kinds of people who are deeply attached to their material desires. One kind of person, he's deeply attached, but wishes he weren't. You know, whatever it is he wants, he's just deeply attached to it, and he sees that it interferes with his Krishna consciousness or progressing as quickly as he would like, but, you know, what to do is there in his heart. And maybe the other person who also has a very deep attachment, material attachment, maybe he's not as sincere. He's chanting Hare Krishna, but maybe he's, I don't know, chanting for those things, you know. So there's a difference in the attachment is the same intensity, but maybe a difference in the level of sincerity. So in light of your answer just now, you say, well, you know, we have our free will, and Krishna will respond accordingly. I'm thinking that, well, for one thing, having an attachment, depending upon your level of sincerity, let me rephrase. Your level of sincerity will determine how quickly you advance, and of course how Krishna will deal with you. So if you're attached but you wish you weren't, then Krishna will deal with you one way in order to uproot that attachment. Maybe he'll satisfy that attachment and get rid of it that way, or he might not satisfy it and not give you what you're asking for exactly, and you'll end up eventually not caring about it, or he'll give you what you want and you'll see the folly of it and then you'll give it up that way. You know, so he'll deal with that sincere devotee in one way, and with the other person he might give the person what he wants, but then his advancement will be delayed, as you were saying, in some other lifetime. You know, Krishna won't forget about him, but his advancement will be delayed. I don't know, is what I'm saying, is that on the right track or wrong track or what?
It is correct. It is based on our sincerity. That's definitely there. And yes, you're right.
So
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly that, you know, as all surrender unto me, I reward them according to. So, yeah, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, so our level of sincerity will determine the how quickly we advance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Basically, yeah. That's it. Okay.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Any more questions? Okay. If there's no more questions, we can end here.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for wonderful answer. Thank you for coming on the call, accepting the request, and giving such a wonderful class. So we end up here.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mataji. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Ji Kalachuda Mataji, can you please sing Gopi Gita? Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam Kala Prabhupada Chila Vakil Ki Jai.
Sure, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. So, Kisya Mataji, with your permission, may I?
Yes, sure, Mataji.
Okay, and then we'll just end the call. So here it is, Gopi Geet. Pranata Dehinam Papa Keshamam Rina Charangam Shriniketanam Hari Kana Arpitam Sekhada
ambujam krino kuche shuna krandhere chayam madhuraya gira vagvakyaya budhamanoknaya pushkarikshana vidhikarirna viramoyati adharasi dhuna pyayaya
श्री गोपी गीत की जय
जय थैंक यू माता जी दंडवत प्रणाम हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू सो मच माता जी सो लेट्स ऑफर आवर बेसिस टू ऑल द वैष्णव वांछा कल्पतरु वच कृपा सिंधु गये वच पतिवानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की भक्ति है कर्ण चरितामृता की गुरु कृपा प्रभुपाद की जय हर ग्रेस कला से धामा थे की जय थैंक यू सो मच
वैष्णव वृंद की जय थैंक यू
की माता जी
थैंक यू माता जी हरे कृष्णा फॉर सच अ ब्यूटीफुल क्लास
थैंक यू हरे कृष्णा
बेस्ट फॉलोअर अभी कौन प्रोड्यूसर बनाई
ना